Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. Today I want to talk about creating a life you love, how to create a life you love. Let me first say a little bit about, tell you a little bit about my own journey. I've talked about in previous episodes that in my 20s, my mid to late 20s, early to late 20s, actually, I was a doorman at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City. And after that, I went into social work. I moved from New York to Massachusetts, ended up going into social work and worked in child welfare for about 10 years and left a full-time job working for the state to go out on my own. And I thought I'd share with you a little bit of some of the journey of this. And the reason I share this with you and the connection to voice is that, you know, so many times people say, well, go out there and share your voice and then you'll build something around your voice. But we sometimes don't talk about, well, what is that something? And I get the opportunity to work with a lot of speakers, authors, coaches, different people who are looking to amplify their voice and make a difference in the world. And I'm sure that if you're listening to this, you are one of those people. So I thought I'd share with you a little bit of my own journey and hopefully just, you know, be completely honest with you about my own journey and what that's been since 2012, you know, the last coming up on 6 years since I left this full-time job to step out into something else that I wasn't really sure what that something else would be, to be honest. So I went through a divorce. I worked for the state for about 10 years. I went through a divorce in 2011 and was kind of in a low place. You know, I was emotionally in a low place. And at some point in 2011, something opened up for me. I was able to get my independent license to be an independently licensed therapist, which I never thought I'd be able to do because I didn't have someone to supervise me. In order to get that license, I needed someone to supervise me. And that opened up, you know, in 2011, that opportunity came up really around the same time as the divorce. And so I decided to go ahead, take the test, and I passed and became an independently licensed therapist. At that point, after realizing that, I had lost my house, I had lost all these things that I kind of was clinging on to, and something dawned on me, which was, you know, one of the reasons that I had stayed for so long in a job that I wasn't necessarily, although I certainly, it was important work and I cared about it and I never felt like I was burnt out. But at the same time, there were other things that I really felt that I wanted to do. I didn't feel like I was fully using my potential in the world. And so in late 2011, around that time, something started to shift in me. And, you know, I've been seeing some clients for therapy. And I thought to myself, you know, what am I clinging on to here? You know, I have an apartment now. I don't have the house. I'm divorced. This is probably the freest that I'll ever be. You know, I had to take care of my son. But other than that, as long as I had made enough money to take care of myself and my son, you know, I thought to myself, well, you're going to be okay. You know, why not take a chance now? So I started to think about it, look into it. And, you know, the problem was I thought to myself, I left DCF. I left the state job to become a full-time therapist. But at the time, you know, I really couldn't build up 20 or 30 clients, which is what I needed while I was working at DCF. I mean, I was going to have to take a leap. You know, I built up about somewhere between 5 and 10, but, you know, it wasn't enough, but I couldn't see 30 clients while I was working full-time at another job. It's just impossible. So at some point I knew I had to take a leap. And, you know, the reason again that I did it is because I felt like I could just do more. It's not that I hated what I did, but it's just that there were other things that I wanted to do that I knew I was passionate about, that I knew I could make a difference in the world. At that same time, by the way, was about the time that I was talking to Brent Carey about Empower Radio. So this was very much a part of that journey. Developing Creating Change was a big part of that journey of this. So I'm so grateful to get the chance to do this every week, to share my, you know, to share this with you and to share my story with you. And I hope that you find it valuable. I basically took a payout from the state for leaving early and decided, you know, I had a little bit of cash, nothing too crazy, but a couple of months salary that I could, that so I wouldn't have to immediately, run out of money and, you know, saved up some money, plus that cash payout. And I was able to walk out the door in, I believe it was, I left in May of 2012. And so, you know, coming up on, as of this recording, it'll be coming up on 6 years soon that I left. And it's interesting because when I first left, I had, you know, although I was doing podcasting, I wasn't really thinking about what I'm doing now, which is, you know, helping people and organizations to do podcasting, live streaming, to share their voice. That wasn't on the table yet. That wasn't really what I was thinking. What I was thinking is that I wanted to be a full-time therapist. And I did that. And I went out and I built up a local following as a therapist. And then something in me just said, you know, I want to do something more. And so pretty quickly, I ended up getting involved with an online therapy company. I did that for a couple of years. That was a great experience. I had worked with thousands of people from all over the world. And then again, you know, yet again, after about 2 years of doing that, there was just something in me that said, I want to do something else. And I'd started to do this work with podcasting and helping other people start their own podcasts and share their voice. And again, something in me just said, you need to do this. And I made that switch again. And so when I look at, you know, it's funny, people say, you know, do what you love, as if it was this one static thing. And what I'm coming to realize more than ever is that it really is about the journey. You know, although it's important to have goals, although it's important to have a sense of where we're going, and I do have goals today, but really it's also being open to the journey, because I never could have known when I left the state in 2012, when I left my state job, I never could have known that it would lead me to where I am today, which is that I produce podcasts for organizations across the United States and even have helped people with podcasts all over the world. And none of that would have happened if I hadn't taken that first leap. So I want to share with you, like I said, I want to share with you my own thoughts about this idea of creating a life you love that might be a little bit different than some of the things that you see out there. You know, when I was a young man, I remember reading Joseph Campbell and The Power of Myth, and he talked about following your bliss. And one of the things Joseph Campbell talked about was this idea that, you know, even following your bliss is not always a blissful experience, that it's fraught with danger and anxieties, but that when you do it, that the universe opens up, that the world opens up for you, and, you know, doors open where they wouldn't before. And that's definitely been my experience. So step number one for me is if you're thinking about, you know, if you're in a place where you're like, I just need to make a change, you know, even if you did love what you were doing, but, you know, I just need to make a change. I would say that step number one is the first thing I encourage you to do. And again, I thank my good friend Kim Addis for this. And I encourage you to check out her program called Resilience Radio on iTunes. But, you know, one of the things that she always talks about is journaling and getting in touch with just asking yourself the question. I think just journaling on the question of what really do I feel called to do? I'm a big believer that also doing what you love is the love part is really a byproduct. I think it's a lot like parenting. You know, parenting's been on my mind too, because I have a 4-year-old daughter at home, a 4-month-old daughter at home, and a 12-year-old son. And, you know, even though someone said this to me once, you know, even though you might love being a parent, you don't love every minute of parenting. And certainly that is true. You know, there's moments that are frustrating and tiring, and you say to yourself, why the heck did I do this? You know, but then there's those moments where, you know, they fall asleep in your arms and it's all worth it, right? And it's really about enjoying the journey with all of its struggles and frustrations. So number one is really think about and get clear on what you need to do. And if there's a way that you can tweak what you're currently doing to make that align with what you want, then I would say, don't be afraid to do that. You don't have to always reinvent the wheel. But if, like myself, you know, you're going from working for an online therapy company to creating a podcasting business, right? It's just, it's too great a leap to be able to you've got to start something new. You know, one of the things I would say is to be strategic about that, because, you know, what happened for me, and again, I said I would be very honest with you in this episode, that when I made the transition from working full-time for the state to doing full-time therapy, I had taken I'd saved up money, and I had taken, taken steps to be able to have, you know, 3, 4, 5 months salary in the bank. So I had this cushion to where I could, you know, build up over several months. But when I left, I had gone through that really in order to build up my practice, and was still really in the process of rebuilding that when I took that leap from online therapy to podcasting. And that was very difficult. It was very difficult because I lost about 80% of my pay, lost about 80% of my income month one. And the income did not come in right away. You know, in fact, it took me about 2 years to get to a place where I could really replace that. And so I had to do other things. So I definitely would encourage you to look before you leap and to be strategic and not, you know, I think some of the times people say, well, I don't want to take another job because I don't want to, you know, I want to be all in, and I'm all for all in. At the same time, I'm also for eating. So if you need to, right, if you need to take that gig job for a little while to see you through the other side of it, I say go ahead and do it. You know, I don't find it the case that, you know, everybody's different. But for me, having, you know, being able to know that I had a certain amount of money coming in every month actually was a good stabilizing force that allowed me to be more creative, not less creative. I think that there is a point at which we can be too comfortable. But if we really don't know where, you know, where our next meal is going to come from, it's very hard to be creative and build the life that you love. And it also forces you or causes you to make decisions that you might not make otherwise simply because, you know, you're thinking about the money. So that's number one, you know, just really this idea of, you know, what do I want to do, and really journaling about it and getting clear and making sure that you know what you want to do. The other thing to think about is, do you want to be an entrepreneur, or do you want to work, or do you want a job? You know, do you want to be an entrepreneur, or do you want to work in someone else's business? And, you know, there's no shame whatsoever in working in someone else's business. And in fact, you can absolutely live your purpose while working for someone else or working for an entity. Like I said, I really feel strongly that that's just a personal choice based on your personality, based on your circumstances. So for example, you know, if you decide that you want to be a writer, you know, do you want to be a freelance writer, or do you want to write for a, you know, do you want to be part of communications department for a company and write for them? There's lots of options and opportunities. So, you know, thinking about what your life looks like, because I think sometimes we focus so much, like I said, on this idea of, you know, what is going to bring me joy. And I think that we need to figure out, you know, what do I feel deeply called to do? But it's in the pursuing of that thing and in overcoming challenges that we actually get the joy. And it is, I mean, think about if you do have children, you know, think about that, right? The joy comes from the struggle. The joy comes from the day-to-day getting through and realizing, wow, you know what? I think I'm doing okay. My kids seem to be, you know, they seem to be growing up okay. They seem to be, you know, despite all the challenges, it's working out okay. So think about that. You know, do you want to be an entrepreneur? Do you want to work for someone else? If you do want to be an entrepreneur, one of the things that I can tell you in terms of creating a life that you love is something that I learned from a business partner of mine. And that is the idea of creating recurring revenue. In that, if you really want to be an entrepreneur and you want to have some sanity, it's important to think about how you can use your skills to create recurring revenue. So for me, what that meant was originally I was just teaching people one-offs about how to start a podcast. They would start a podcast and I would say goodbye. I would never see them again. And then I have to go find another person who might want to start a podcast. The problem with that is it's you're constantly chasing after people and you're never really building anything, because what you're doing is you're churning through people. Now, not to say that you can't do that, but if you want to have some sanity as an entrepreneur, creating recurring revenue is really where it's at. So think about in your skill set, you know, for me, what it was is I went more from a model of teaching people how to do podcasts to producing podcasts on an ongoing basis. So now I have clients that I've been working with for years to produce their podcast versus teaching them how to do a podcast, which doesn't mean that I don't still have people that, which by the way, you know, if you would like me to teach you how to do a podcast, feel free to reach out. It doesn't mean that I won't do that. But what it does mean is it's not my primary structure of my business today is the idea of teaching people and then sending them off. And, you know, if you think about it, if you really want to serve people in a higher way, it certainly behooves you to, you know, it takes time to create change. And so to be able to spend a certain amount of time, you know, with someone over a year, over years, really can help you serve at a higher level. So think about that. You know, if you're an artist, for example, right? Maybe you can create courses that people can take over time, or you can mentor other artists, or you could have some type of, you know, membership thing where people get a chance to, you know, see your new art or whatever you curate. So there's lots of ways in which you can structure this, but you know, it's basically the idea of getting as close as you can to the concept of a paycheck. Because again, I really believe that one of the biggest challenges for us as entrepreneurs is if we don't feel like we have enough money coming in, if we don't feel like we're sure that we can pay our bills the next month, right? Or that we can put away the money that we need, it's really hard to be creative. It's really hard to live that life that you love. The next thing I would say is to also realize that, and I've kind of been peppering this throughout, but creating a life that you love and is fulfilling doesn't mean that every moment of your life, you're going to love every second of it. You know, any calling is going to have things that maybe are difficult. And so like for me, you know, there's aspects of my business that I don't necessarily love. I don't necessarily, you know, love doing the accounting side of it or maybe some of the more mundane tasks. But at the same time, I realize that it's part of having a business. It's part of being an entrepreneur. And what I do love is being able to kind of strike out on my own and do my own thing and serve people in a way that I want to serve them. So realize that, you know, when you got to think about not so much, am I going to love every second of it, but think about like, how many hours do I want to work, right? What kind of person are you? Are you someone that likes to work? You know, For myself, I'm a fairly driven person. You know, I do work probably more hours than I should, but I love working. I mean, I love doing it. To me, it's not, work is not a four letter word. I really enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, I do have the freedom to pick up my daughter when I need to from daycare, and obviously spend time with my children and do the things that I enjoy in life. I mean, I wouldn't want to be working 24/7. I don't work 15-hour days. You know, I might work 10 to 12-hour days, but I'm not working 15, 16, 17-hour days. I don't want to put that kind of work in. I'm not really willing to do that. So, you know, you have to think about that as well. And whatever you decide to do, again, it's just thinking about for your own sanity, for your own well-being, you know, what kind of, you know, structure do you want? And a lot of times people don't think about this. I think about when I, you know, have a lot of friends growing up, I was, as a young man, I was really interested in doing screenwriting and working in the entertainment industry. And one of the things I got to learn as I went along is, you know, the reality of the entertainment industry versus the glamour of the entertainment industry. So the reality is, let's say, you know, if you're working on set on a film, you're working really, really long hours and you're away from your family for a long time. And so you may decide, there may come a point where you say to yourself, wow, you know, I really would love doing this thing. You know, I really would love working on films. But at the same time, I know I'm not going to be happy with the lifestyle of working on films. So then you find a way to maybe make your own films, or, you know, figure something out where you can get the heart of your what you want met, you know, the heart of that desire met, but in a way that's fulfilling for you. And that brings me to the next part, which is something that I'm going to give credit here to Barbara Sher, who wrote Wishcraft, and It's Only Too Late If You Don't Start Now. One of the things Barbara says is that, you know, there's no dream at which the heart of it is not manageable and doable, which means that if you want to be an actor, you know, the heart of that is absolutely accomplished, something that you can accomplish. Now, does that mean that you're going to be an A-list actor and you're going to be in movies with Tom Cruise? Maybe, maybe not, right? Probably not. But, you know, it's possible. But definitely, you know, could you be an actor on stage at a community college or in independent films? Absolutely. And so, you know, think about like, what is the heart of what you love? And that's what helped me make the switch from doing playwriting and screenwriting. I still do playwriting, but, you know, doing screenwriting and really focusing on that to doing podcasting. You know, for me, the heart of it was I love communication. I love telling stories. I love being creative for a living. So when I started to think about that, I realized, well, that's transferable to podcasting. You know, podcasting is a creative outlet that pays my bills and also feeds my, it in itself feeds that creative need that I have. So be open, you know, be open to that. Be open to the idea that, you know, I think this is a mistake that a lot of artists make, which is we think to ourselves, okay, this is the one thing that I could love. But, you know, I was talking to a friend tonight and was talking about this idea of really being able to listen to the market, you know, listen to the marketplace and see like, what will people pay you for? And that's really how podcasting opened up for me, was that I realized people were willing to pay me to either produce their podcast or teach them how to podcast. And then think to yourself, okay, do I enjoy doing this, right? If you don't enjoy it and it's not fulfilling, then by all means, that's not going to be the life you love. But maybe it's something you never expected that you would ever be doing, but people are paying you for it, or they start asking you to do it, which, by the way, if people start asking you to do something, there's a good chance that you have some skill in that. And then if you try it, you say to yourself, okay, you know, do I like this? Do I not like this? And again, if you don't like it, then that's fine. But if you find yourself saying, you know, I really do like this, maybe it will take you in a place that you didn't expect. And certainly that again is what's happened for me with podcasting, that it took me to a place that I didn't expect. And I just want to say another piece about this idea of a life that you love and what that looks like. More and more, I just come to realize that there is no utopia. You know, I think that's the other piece, is a lot of times, you know, especially when I was sitting in that job working 9 to 5, I imagined what it would be like to work for myself. I imagined what it would be like to do something I love, to be creative for a living. And I kind of, in a way, had this idealized version of what that would be, you know, that I would be relaxed, and, you know, I'd wake up and do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And sometimes, you know, we see people online who seem to have that life. And listen, you know, if you have that life, by all means, that's wonderful. But just telling you my experience is that life is busy. You know, life is still busy, and there's more stuff that needs to be done than there are hours in a day. And I'm in the process of building my team, and it's a messy process. You know, it's not been this thing where it's not been the utopia that I thought it would be. But at the same time, even though it's not a utopia, and I still have stressful moments, and I have very busy days, and in many ways I'm working harder than I was when I was working in my 9 to 5 job, but I really believe in the work that I do. I find it deeply fulfilling. That doesn't mean that fulfilling, again, doesn't always mean that every moment I'm just singing and jumping and screaming kumbaya, but I find it fulfilling. I find it challenging. I find it meaningful and juicy. And in the moments when I feel like, oh my God, I can't take this next step of growth, And then I do find joy in that. So I want to encourage you to, you know, if you haven't stepped out yet into that place, or you have stepped out, but you're thinking about moving on to the next step, whatever that is. Maybe it's adding a service to your business. Maybe it's writing that book. Maybe it's becoming a speaker. Maybe it is leaving that 9 to 5 job that you're really nervous about. I want to tell you that, you know, there is, in my opinion, there is no utopia. There is no, you know, even if you have utopia, that gets boring pretty quickly. You know, if you have millions of dollars and you're just sitting on an island and sipping mojitos, that even that, there's still stress somewhere. You know, you're still going to find stress, because no one, as my friend Dennis Palumbo says, no one escapes the human condition. Sooner or later, we come face to face with ourselves and our own fears, and we have to challenge ourselves to grow. But what I wouldn't change for anything, and again, you know, for those of you that know me and listen to the show regularly, you know that 15 years ago, I walked out the door being a doorman at a hotel in New York City. And I left to do something, to make an impact in the world, to find my own way. And, you know, then I found myself in this 9 to 5 job and realized, you know, this is, I left to do something more. I always wanted to do something more. And today I find myself doing that something more. And do I have moments where I'm very stressed out? Do I have moments where, do I have my ups and downs? Do I struggle at times? There are times when I think about, oh my God, why am I doing this? Absolutely. But when I step back and I do some journaling and I get centered with myself, I realize that I find the work that I do deeply fulfilling, helping people stand out and find their voice and amplify their voice in the world. I find it deeply fulfilling. And I encourage you that if you are struggling right now, or if you're saying to yourself, man, you know, I just want to find that thing that just brings me bliss, don't think of it so much as you're in absolute joy all the time. Think about, again, it's like having a child. You know, when you first have a child, man, it's bliss, but it is tiring. You know, there's sleepless nights and the baby's crying all the time. And I can tell you that from experience, right? But if you really, you know, if you wanted a child and it's meaningful to you, when you look at your child and you go, oh my God, you know, there's nothing better. And I believe that when we do our work, when we really follow our heart and we do our work and we do the work that we need to do, we can look back at the product that and say, there is nothing better, and we can enjoy the journey along the way. Thank you so much for joining me today, as always. And remember, keep creating. The world needs your voice. This is Doug Foresta on Creating Change.